Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
How are you, sweet Kelly?
I'm very excited today.
You're so cute. Always so cute.
I'm super excited.
I know.
Just bang it out?
Yeah, just bang it out.
So we have two really special guests in studio.
Fellow radio show hosts.
Exactly. So they are on the show before us, which is like so cool because we always saw you guys, but now this is like it. We're really,
this is it.
You know?
Yeah,
exactly. So let's do an intro. Do you want to do Michelle or Billy or who?
Well, okay, Michelle, you. Is also part of the horse ownership experience on the show right before us, and she went to, I'm never going to pronounce this right. You got to go. You have to
just
be
don't,
from
just don't
Kentucky.
Louisville.
Oh,
Louisville.
Yeah.
Louisville.
Whoa.
No.
Wait, are you joking me right now?
It's Louisville.
Louisville.
Yeah.
Are you joking?
Did you
Louisville? I literally had no idea what you were just saying. It was almost like you were like speaking another language. Like I had no idea what she was saying.
They shoot you in a bar if you say Louisville. Yeah.
Shut
Kentucky.
Your mouth.
No, I'm serious. I went to Kentucky 2 years ago. I just had always wanted to see all that greenery and to see the horses, which is a great thing to talk about too. And went to the Churchill Downs to watch the week after the Kentucky Derby was there. It was amazing. But anyway, yes, I didn't know how to say Louisville. And I said Louisville. People looked at me like, who are you? Why are you here?
Wait,
are you?
I don't even think I could do it.
You guys have so much more energy than we do.
Oh, well, the funny thing, we try and tone it down, and we don't have to at all.
You get to play it up here.
Oh, really? I'm like a rocket ship. You got to watch out. You know,
that's
so funny. But wait, I'm back to this Louisville thing. Is it like an East Coast thing that I'm saying?
No, it's not East Coast.
It's just everybody outside of Kentucky says it wrong, basically.
Yes. Louisville or Louisville. It's
Louisville. Oh, my God. No, that's
Louisville.
Bad.
Louisville.
Okay.
Louisville.
So that's Louisville.
Yeah. I get it.
Anyway.
Yes. I get it. Practice, Kelly.
I can't do
it. Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
Do it.
Louisville. There you go.
There you go.
That just sounds like I'm got something caught in my throat.
A little bit.
Yeah.
That's how I think you're saying it right.
Yeah.
Most likely it's whiskey. Whiskey or horseshit.
That is so freaking funny.
Yeah.
And her sidekick or front kick or back kick.
Exactly.
Partner
Billy
in crime.
Koch. Yes. And we are so happy to have you here. Should we give the whole bio? Little Red Feather. Tell us about Little Red Feather Racing.
Little Red Feather is a partnership group. It's the largest racing club here in California. We have over 300 active investors, and we have over... I think we have 35 horses in training right now. So what we do is...
And Billy is the founder and managing partner.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you. We buy and sell racehorses, and we put together partnerships. So instead of owning 100% of a racehorse, you can own 5%.
Oh.
It makes it much more cost-effective, much more manageable, and a lot more fun because... Instead of spending $50,000 on one horse, you could split that up and maybe spend $10,000 on five different horses. So that's like fractional ownership of jets.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, or like timeshares.
Exactly.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. Okay, is this popular?
Except that a timeshare, when you want to go stay during winter in Hawaii and someone's already there, everyone gets to winter in Hawaii.
Exactly.
It's a lot of fun. It's a horrific horrific investment. We don't even call it an investment. We like to just say it's fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And, it is. It's a lot of fun. It's very communal. We consider ourselves more like a family than a corporate type partnership.
Sure.
We're a family. We know all of our owners and all their kids, and
cool.
It's a lot of fun.
I got to witness from the side because
Billy
got my little group some box seats right above the finish line.
We did.
And we got to watch, and we were invited down to the winner's circle, but we didn't know we could actually go.
So sweet.
We won. We placed
the it was
back.
Awesome.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was very
so
cool.
So sweet. Came down to the paddocks.
Yep.
So you guys are the good luck charm. So on Shoemaker Day,
we may need to bring you back.
Just invite me. I'll come. I'll be
She's
there.
All about it.
I love that.
It's
one of my fondest experiences with my father as a little girl. He used to bring me to the track. Of course, it was always when he was in a fight with my mom. But, that was the downside. But the good side was I'd get to go with my dad. And he'd go, here's $2. You can go place your bet. And he would walk up next to me. And it was like, this is so much fun.
That's awesome.
What's a minimum bet now?
$2.
It is.
No. You can bet 50 cents.
10 cents.
No.
Yeah, 10 cents are superfecta, you kidding me? But yeah.
Not for a win place
a
show.
Yeah, win place show is $2.
So you guys are speaking Japanese to me. I don't even know what this
we'll
means.
We'll have to bring you out.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all there is to it. We don't have enough time, I think, to talk about handicapping on the show, but we'll bring you out.
I feel like yeah, I don't know what this means, but I remember slightly. But
so part of why we did ask you here is because Kelly and I are on opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to horse racing.
Okay.
Well, here,
obviously, you're a fan.
I'm a big fan.
It's not that I'm not a fan. I just worry about the horse's safety. And so I was wondering if you could speak to that, because I'm a huge animal lover and I got nervous.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because you hear about them pumping hormones so they go faster or holding on to their... You don't let them pee so that they run faster. You hear all sorts of myths. I know.
That's a complete fallacy.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Right there. It's actually the opposite. We want them to pee a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, so that they can go fast. Okay. All right. So what about the hormones and all that jazz?
So I think we can start with just saying that as far as treatment goes of horses, I think the majority of trainers will say you have an open invitation at any time to come to any racetrack in America and come visit our horses.
Great.
I know several trainers have put that in the newspaper when there has been, you know, issues.
Yeah.
Anytime. Don't tell them you're going to show up so I can clean up the barn. Knock on the door and you can come see our barn, because the horses are fed. They are under 24-hour care. They get massages. They get acupunctures. They get fed.
I want to race. I want to be a horse.
No, this is serious.
You do.
There are people that they buy these steamers for their hay so they can have their hay steamed out so it's like extra clean and warm on a cold day. They get bran mashes made for them daily. They get vitamins. They get hand walked.
Yeah.
I mean, they get private jets to be flown places.
Yeah,
so
this is
how horses are treated. You know, with Billy said they're an investment.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to spend, even if, you know, for me, I don't make very much money. You know, we bought a $40,000 horse. That's a lot of money for us.
Yeah.
So even though he's not the best horse in the world, that horse gets everything possible that he needs. He gets to go to the dentist. He gets his feet done every 4 weeks. He gets new shoes. You know, if he has something that rubs him, he gets medicine and a saddle. I mean, he gets a new saddle.
Right,
everything.
Right, right.
These horses are not... Yeah,
these
are
horses,
there the
yeah,
exceptions to, you know, there's going to be some people that...
Of course.
You know, there's
of
some
course.
People that beat their kids.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But for the most part, these things are treated like they're literally made of gold.
And this is, you know, the one thing to remember is that this is what they're bred to do.
Right.
These are not wild horses who are out there, you know, having to survive and from predators. I mean, these horses are bred to run.
Yeah.
And they're bred as racehorses. Well, we think they do.
Yeah.
But like what Michelle was saying, and I couldn't have said it better myself, they get this care. They are treated like kings and queens.
Oh.
I mean, they really are. If you're around the barns, they are. They have Does it kind of stink that they have to
stand in a stall
for probably 22 to 23 hours a day?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we just don't have the land and the real estate. In a perfect world, I would love for my horses to be running around, but they just can't.
Right. To be fair, I have horses that when we turn them out, they go in a 25-acre paddock. My horse stands in a 4x4 patch.
Right.
Right in the gate where the hay is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I can go chase him around. He like runs away and he comes back to the gate. So even when they're given a large area, they're not like, yay!
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I think a lot of the stuff that you were talking about are these fallacies and these kind of, you know, the horses don't like getting hit by the whip and all these kind of things, and it's so evil and it's terrible. But you know what I always say? It's like, this is what they're doing. This is what they're born to do. I mean, I hate to get kind of not grotesque, but I mean, we breed cattle to eat.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, I'm not a vegetarian. I don't know if any of you guys are vegetarians or vegans or, you know, I eat organic.
Right.
But... You know, is that cruel? No, that's to survive. Now, we do the horses because we love it and we're enthusiasts, and they are bred to do a certain thing, and that's what they're bred to do, and that's to race.
Right.
And the good ones, the really good ones, the Beholders and the California Chromes and the American Pharaohs and the horses that you see, I mean, they're champions.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why that's a bad thing.
Right. That's really interesting.
You want to talk a little bit about some of the negative aspects. You know, you mentioned we make them hold their pee, which is untrue. We actually give them a drug called Lasix to make them get all their water out. And it's not technically to make them go faster. It's to, you know, help make sure there's internal things that go on and make sure they're very healthy during the race and to stop bleeding. Because, you know, sometimes when they run, the capillary arteries and their lungs can explode, which causes bleeding out the nose.
Oh,
we've seen horses bleed before.
Yeah, it's not a life-threatening injury. It's very common, and it's painful, but it's fine. And so we give them Lasix to minimize that and reduce that. So we're actually giving to them to help them feel better, not technically
it's
to
a
make
therapeutic.
Them, yes,
like rather than
prevention type
yes.
thing.
Yes, and as far as the hormones go, hormones are illegal to give to horses, so we don't do that. You know, we used to be able to give drugs like Winstrol and everything and steroids, but now that's like 30 days out. So it might, and they do help. Yeah. When you give a horse Winstrol and you give them 30 days, their coat will turn out better. They will start
just
to
like
eat
in
more.
Humans.
Yeah.
Humans take steroids. I do an inhaler and it has steroids in it because it helps my asthma. And they're like, I'm not a professional athlete.
We actually give the exact same thing that's in Billy's inhaler and albuterol. You know, we do albuterol or clenbuterol on occasion to help horses with that situation. So it's all for the betterment. Are there some side effects going to make the horse faster? But it's because they're healthier and they're doing better. Unhealthy horse that looks crappy, it isn't getting fed, and isn't getting its feet taken care of, it's not going to run good.
Right, exactly. Sure. That makes sense.
I think you probably saw all those horrible Disney movies when you were younger about the Black Stallion and all that, where you see these.
But he wins at the end, the Black Stallion.
But the kid loves the Black Stallion.
The kid loves the Black Stallion.
She's worried, though, about the brutality about people. Right. I told you so. Yes? Now? I told you so.
I think Michelle put it best. There are bad seeds in every single business sector or everything we do out there. There are people that are abusing kids.
There are bad therapists that hypnotize people and then rape them on the couch.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I could say.
How'd you know about Deborah?
Yeah.
do you know when we were setting up our email?
Yeah.
It's Doc and
the rapist. I know.
Doc and therapist, right?
Doc and the rapist.
So that's actually you, Kelly.
I know. I know. I'm the rapist. That is really funny.
What else worries you about horses in training that we can help
you
alleviate?
Sure. Yes. Okay. Well, first of all, am I alone in this or do you feel like you come across this when you meet people?
Yes.
I'm alone.
No, you're not
the only one.
Uneducated, not
with all due respect.
Dumb idiots. With all due respect. Yeah, exactly. Uneducated people.
Who don't know about it.
PETA people.
Well,
you know,
or like what happens is they're watching the Preakness and a horse breaks down, and they go, this is the worst thing ever. Yeah, it kills us. I mean, I have the chills right now. It destroys us who love the animals just like you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't want anything to happen to these animals. It is a horrific, the absolute worst part of our game. And it's the worst part of our sport. And I don't want to nominalize it at all, but it happens when someone might be running across the street right now and they get hit.
Or they have
a heart attack. Things happen in this game.
Sure. Yeah.
In a baseball game, a guy takes a ball off the forehead. Yeah.
What you're saying.
Yeah.
Here's a really great example. On Preakness Day, so, you know, the eyes of the nation are on racing. There were two tragic accidents. So the first race was won by a horse named Homeboy Chris. He won the race. Uh-huh. He took his picture. He started walking back home, and he died of a heart attack.
Oh, my.
Everyone just jumped on it saying you guys were forcing him to run. He was 9 years old. He had, you know, fallen down the claiming ladder, which is what everyone instantly attacks. The girl that galloped him and the family that owns him actually loved him, and they had tried previously to retire him, but he wanted to play and go so much they just brought him back. He was the soundest horse they had in the barn. The girl said, you know, and the exercise rider wrote this big note to the public, like, don't indemnify all of us because this horse loved his job. And he was, you know, they were going to try and retire him again, because they wanted to bring him out on a good note.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, he had a heart attack. And I think that same week, some rock star died on stage of a heart attack. I'm like, see, people die doing what they love all the time.
Right.
Does it happen? And, you know, was it maybe an offshoot? Who knows why you have a heart attack, right?
But it happens.
Yeah. And then a horse did break down, you know, running in a race. But there are people behind this horse. It's not like that the horse died. We're like, well...
Yeah,
that
good riddance,
I mean, you know? Does it seem like it because we go on to the next race?
But there's, and what you have to know about horses is that other people don't understand is they say, well, why do you have to put him down? Well,
you can't tell a horse stand still.
Yeah, or just lay down. They have to stand up and they have to move around, and that's why if they have a fracture in their leg that is so bad that ultimately it's decided by the vets to actually euthanize those horses. It's because if we didn't, their recovery would be worse.
There's a horse.
And they could have laminitis, which is what happened to Barbaro, which maybe
which
some of your audience
did,
knows about.
They
which
did they
tried
to save him
possible
over
save
a year.
Him. Yeah,
they tried to save that horse. They put 17 screws down his leg. Wow. I mean, he was,
he was the Kentucky Derby winner. They tried everything possible. The horse was worth millions and millions of dollars. Not only that, had a following of.
Oh, wow.
I mean, everybody loved this horse, and they couldn't save him. I mean, they tried everything and couldn't save him. So it's not for a lack of effort, and it worked. I always say that. You know, there's a lot of times I think we treat our animals better than we treat ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know, Kelly treats her dog better than anything because that's her only vaginal birth.
Really?
Vaginal birth.
That's great.
Yes, I have two boys.
Nice.
One by C-section, one by surrogate, and my dog straight out of the vagina.
Wow.
Yes.
I love that. We gotta start listening to this show. I was like, wow, okay. What kind of dog is it?
It's a Whippet.
A Whippet.
It's a fast. You guys would know about that.
I had an Iggy.
Ashley, I remember.
You did. Mm-hmm. They're great, too.
Yeah,
they're great.
Whippets are cool.
Yeah, they're the best.
But anyway, I was just to finish up, I just think that people, like Michelle said, who are uneducated in the world of horses, it's easy to jump to conclusions. Oh, look how brutal they are. Look what they're making these poor horses do. And I just don't think that's the case.
And, while the show must go on, and that's the mentality, we can't stop racing. You know, as much as you say, oh, it's sad, let's stop racing, a lot of money, time, and effort went into other people. Like, what if you're in the next race and you've been getting a horse ready for the last year to come back? You can cancel the races because of that.
Right. No.
You think about it from their standpoint. While the show might go on, there are a groom and a hot walker and an exercise rider and a trainer that are mourning the death of that horse.
Sure.
On occasion, we've had a horse breakdown in our race where we even have refused to take our winner's circle picture and walked back because we thought it was disrespectful to the horse.
To the horse,
We had a horse of our own that won the race and he broke down afterwards. He lived. We had to van him off. And again, we declined the winner's circle photo because everyone was like, oh, just come on. It's like, no. You have to pay attention to that because that's maybe not something that you would notice if you're just thinking, oh my God, the horse died.
Right.
And instead, you have to pay attention to, how is everyone else acting?
Yeah, that makes sense.
In my experience of horses, because my sister and I had a couple horses when we were growing up, not racehorses, and they all have such neat personalities. Each one has its own unique personality. There's this company out in Malibu called Stand and Balance, and they do equine therapy.
Okay.
They do these. They take horses that actually they're not meant for riding or anything, but they've been badly treated or whatever, and they put them in with people to see how people and the horses interact with each other and how you have to get used to. So I went to this seminar a couple weeks ago, and it was fascinating because I of course went to the tallest, biggest horse.
Oh my God!
To conquer fears because I'm counterphobic. I usually walk toward
that's
things that scare the crap out of me. So this horse scared
what does that
me.
Mean? Counterphobic?
Counterphobic.
Instead that's like of a phobic big where you spider, avoid, you're like, oh, my God.
You just go right toward it.
I go right toward it.
Wow.
Whatever I'm
and
afraid
it scared
of,
it.
I walk
really?
Right
like
toward it.
Like subconsciously or consciously?
Oh, I consciously
yeah,
did that.
Yeah, you're like, I want to get over this fear.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's called counterphobics. The opposite. Yeah. Phobics will usually move away from something and avoid it and stay away. So in order to not be that person, I just dive in.
Oh, cool.
Come run to my vomit because I have a vomit phobia.
Stupid sometimes.
You have a vomit phobia?
I have a huge vomit phobia.
One of my sons is like
Emily?
A little bit.
Your son?
A little bit. Yeah, no, my son, Cooper, he doesn't like, he's thrown up once in his whole life and it was the worst experience and he refuses to puke.
That's like me. Knock on wood. It's been I have.
And if someone else pukes, he'll puke.
It's
or
the
like
worst.
He'll just die.
I don't understand how people don't have this because mine is so intense.
I get so happy to throw up though.
My dad says. He's like, it feels so good after. And I'm like,
If I have, I will force myself. If I feel like I have a stomach,
if you're nauseous,
absolutely force myself to.
I do could never be a bulimic. Possible to not puke.
Yeah. There you go. How do we get talking about this?
Do horses throw up?
I know you guys have other things to talk about.
Do horses throw up?
No. That's one of the problems with horses. Actually,
when they get something like colic or they're choking, you have to pump
way.
It out of them.
Yeah. The horses can't throw up, so everything has to come out the back.
And
that's when you hear there's a term colic that Michelle just used, and that's what you turn. They have the horse's intestines are hundreds of yards. I don't know what it is, but they're so
long. They're 300
long.
Feet long.
Yeah, and then when they get twisted,
Like 300 feet. It's like a football field if you have
It's amazing. Yeah. And they're just built.
Yeah.
They're not built right, the horses. There's a guy who used to, Roy Firestone, who I used to watch as a little kid, he used to say they're the million-dollar animals with the 10-cent legs.
Oh.
And if you look at them, they are. They have these big shoulders and these big rears
tiny
and these big
ankles.
Necks and these tiny little legs.
It's like
they
the Whippet.
Throw everything on, yeah.
Yeah,
except the Whippets are skinny.
Yeah, exactly.
The
horses
skinny.
Are.
It's like a St. Bernard on Whippet legs.
Yeah.
It's so true. Wait, and really fast, when horses sleep, do they lay down? Because I keep hearing yes and no.
Yeah, yeah. So the problem is horses can't lay down for an extended period of time on one side because you can cause like blood pooling and like nerve damage on that side. So they tend, if they're going to sleep very soundly, to do it standing up. And that's not only because of the health reason, but also because they are flight animals. You know, they don't turn and fight if a predator comes. Oh. So I like to say a horse that's feeling very comfortable will lay down and snooze. But if they're going to heavy sleep, they stand up. So if you go into a racehorse barn and you see a whole bunch of horses laying down, those are happy, healthy, safe feeling horses. Because they feel like nothing can hurt me here.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
This is so...
And they're smart. The smart ones...
Lay down.
Oh, really?
Ones lay down.
Well, yeah, like the
they
smart
just know
ones
how to
take
care
of themselves.
Wow. Mm-hmm. This is really interesting.
Yeah.
And then what about... You always hear, like, don't go behind a horse because they can kick you. Is that true for all horses or just ones
if
that get startled?
If you look... Yeah, I mean, it's true with all animals, I would say.
Here's what
Michelle.
It is. This is what I teach people when they come to the barn.
Yeah.
So if this is a... Here,
you're
my
horse.
I'm a horse. Michelle, don't forget we're on radio.
This is my horse's butt, and he's right here close to me, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you're right here, and you're about 6 feet away from him, and he kicks me, I'm getting Billy's kick right in the face.
Right.
If you are walking behind a horse, and you walk very close to them, and he even tries to kick me, it's just going to bump me.
Yeah.
Oh, so you actually want to get closer.
Better yet, walk really far away.
That's what I do. That's what I do. I'm like,
which
so
is fine.
Yeah.
Deborah would walk right into it.
Yes, exactly. Deborah's like, I want the knock.
Be careful of that, like, 6 foot radius. If their feet could reach you, that's a bad spot, or be really close.
But the interesting thing about horses too is if you look at a horse, they have this, you know, their head, their eyes are on different sides of their head.
Right.
So they're actually seeing, unlike,
they can almost see all
they
the
see
way behind,
two different
right?
things.
Oh wow.
So that also you just, when you walk up to a horse, you need to let them know you're there, and you just
touch them on the butt and let them know.
I wouldn't touch them on the butt, but I would go on the neck.
Wherever you are, and you know, let them know.
Someone told me, and I use this practice, I don't know if it's right or not, to like softly blow into their nostrils so
that
they understand
like
your
what?
Scent.
Yeah.
So inside their nostrils, they have these hairs that can like grab and understand.
Shut
so what
up.
They do is like if you blow in their nose like gently, like,
oh my God, this is so cute.
They will sniff you and they'll remember you. And then a lot of times they'll lift their lip up.
Yeah. Yep.
Michelle's making a very funny
I know, I'm making
face.
Faces on radio.
I have to do this to the next horse I see.
Why don't you come to the racetrack?
I would like lick the nostril. This
come
is how much I love
me.
Animals.
Let's go.
Why don't you come out? You guys should come to the backside and come do backside
and
tour.
I can like pet the animals.
You can
absolutely.
Pet. I'll let you sit on a pony if you want.
Yes, I mean, I'm totally all about it.
You can sit on a pony, sure. Anytime.
So much fun.
But yeah,
so
you can blow on their nose. You can do all kinds of things.
Oh, they like to be tickled too once they know you, like underneath their.
Some of them. Some of them don't like their faces touched.
How will they let you know?
They will bite you.
Oh,
or pin their ears. Or,
you
will definitely
know. Okay. And then I know you feed them. You're supposed to put the hand out like
flat.
Yeah.
Otherwise, your fingers look just like carrots to them.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Finger
this is
carrots.
So cool.
Finger carrots.
So I know you guys have to go, but do you want to promote anything, you know, that we talked about or anything?
Listen to our show. We the LA Talk Radio, we're right before you guys at noon on Tuesdays. And you can tweet Michelle at Own a Horse. And if any of you out there listening are interested in finding out more about horse ownership, just check out our website. It's littleredfeather.com.
And if anyone does have, you know, horse safety or related questions like that, like you did, please feel free to tweet us because we are happy to answer questions.
That's
we want to dispel the myths and the rumors. You know, overall, our horses are very, very well taken care of.
That's great.
See,
that's
Kelly,
really
you've wasted over a year. We could have had them on our show a year ago to LI these.
And now she wants to come to track and blow
it.
No,
it's true.
What we'll do is we'll schedule a time for you to come to the track, and then you can come. We'll come back on and we'll do a report.
Yes. And then exactly.
Right. Okay.
So we'll
I like it.
That.
That's
perfect.
Awesome. You guys, thank you
so
much.
Oh, thank you guys.
Thank you guys.
Enjoy the show. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you.
And they do have a fabulous show. I have listened to your show a couple times. Thanks, guys.
I have not, but I will.
Now she's going to be an avid horse race promoter.
Bye-bye. Thanks, guys.
Bye. So is that awesome?
They're so sweet.
Oh,
they're
adorable.
So sweet.
So adorable. So that was Michelle.
You
and Billy Koch from Little Red Feather Racing.
No, Little Feather Racing. No, maybe you're right. Why do
it's
I have
Little Red Feather.
Is it? You're right.
Is.
I'm sorry.
That may be why you couldn't email him.
You forgot
the red.
But I clicked on the link. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
That's great.
So how do you feel now after hearing
all
that?
Yeah, I feel better. I feel like I need to see it in action to, you know, but like, look, the truth is I'm not a full vegetarian. It's not like I can like sit on a soapbox and be like, you know, I mean, so it's like, I just love animals. I just want to make sure that they're treated properly. But I mean, that definitely helped, you know, it helped me feel a little safer and I want
to
see it in action.
And to go on record, by the way, I love animals too.
I know
that.
Exactly.
So I would never support or promote anything anything that yes. I thought was exactly. You know, really negative for
yeah.
them. So, but I like they said, those animals are treated better than you and yeah. I will ever be treated.
When he said manicure, pedicure, I swear to God, I was like, please take me. Take me. I need a manicure.
It was like those cats that I saw in Las Vegas, the former Siegfried and Roy
yes.
Animals.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They have them on 3 acres of land up there, and they bring the cats into these enclosed areas that you can see them. But they only keep them there for a couple hours, and they go back out and roam around. But these are coiffed to the
really?
Maximum. They are so gorgeous.
Yeah.
I mean, their hair, their fur, and all that. It's just stunning.
Yeah.
And they are hand-bathed every day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Lions.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Tigers.
I was going to ask you, do you love lions because they're cats?
I do.
Yeah, I figured.
I do.
I feel like...
love black panthers.
Oh, my God.
Those are my favorites.
Gorgeous.
I just like, I look at one of those. And sadly, because they are around, mountain lions. I feel like I'm going to manifest yes. seeing a mountain lion someday.
Oh.
And it scares me because that's a little bit too counterphobic for me.
Right, right, right. That's so cool. Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, see, because I love coyotes, which are wild dogs.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like in the dog family.
How about wolves?
I have no problem.
Great. I mean, they're gorgeous.
Yeah, exactly. Great.
Oh. We were in Lake Arrowhead, and this was so sad. There was this beautiful husky.
Yeah.
It was running in the street, and of course, if I see an animal, I'm going to go.
Sure.
So Christopher and I pulled over. Our car wasn't safe, but we pulled over,
yeah.
and I was trying to get this dog to come to me, and he would come all the way over, and he would sniff my hand, and then he would get startled and run away. He had a collar, and I tried so hard, and then he would just keep running, and then I would go after him, and we spent like a half hour, 45 minutes, and there
yeah.
was this little farmer's market there, and this woman said, apparently, this is an older guy's dog. It's a younger dog. He doesn't want to take care of it anymore. He leaves it out on the street hoping that somebody will just take the dog. Awful. Horrible, right?
Oh, my heart is like hurting. I would take this husky.
I would have taken the husky
if
I could have.
Exactly.
I couldn't get him. I couldn't get him. I didn't have food. Nobody had food. It was just we were in this sort of very remote place.
Yeah.
And it was just, and then he just kept running. So, and I couldn't find him. And Arrowhead is mountains.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So
you can't,
running downhills and then up and... It was sad.
Oh, at least it's like a hardy dog. That makes me feel a little bit better, husky, you know? Like, but still, my God, that's awful. Awful.
We have this little kitty cat in our neighborhood, and we live in an area where there are coyotes. I don't know why anybody lets their cats out, but they do. And there's this little black and white kid. I think his name is Schwachi or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And he literally stalks people and animals, dogs. He will stalk. He will run. I'm taking my walk. He comes and he hides under a car. Then he bolts out and he comes up and he's so friendly. He's got seven toes.
Oh, my God.
He's so cute. He's a survivor. He's
that's
this little
so
skinny little
funny.
Cat, black and white. So cute. Aww. Runs around. So cute. I know. We both love animals.
Ugh, love. Well, I'm thinking, if I ever get a cat, I want a cat that's like a dog. I don't know if we've talked about this, but I've been to people's houses where, like, the cat, the doorbell rings, the cat runs up, greets
that's
them.
That's my puppy cat.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
That's so
Bobby,
great.
Yes. You want to adopt him for a little while?
Oh, my God. That would be so cool. I'd be scared of Luce's reaction. I mean, he wouldn't harm him, but he'd just be like, what the heck is it? You know? But maybe they would get used to him.
Moose has been your baby for so long. I think he would probably be really jealous if you brought another
for
animal
sure.
in.
I mean, he's jealous when I play with the kids, like, literally on the floor. It's hilarious. Yeah. So, all right,
okay,
so let's talk a little bit.
They only had a short visit, so I have to tell you something. This is my life right now, which is hysterical. So I have this Acura TL, right?
Yes.
And this has been sort of like the spare utility car. I love this car. I drove it. It was fabulous. But the last few years, because I have my Mini Cooper, you know, it's kind of like the extra car when my daughter comes down sometimes if she needs a car, if a friend stays over and they need an extra car, whatever. So I decided that I'm finally going to sell it because the mechanic who's been working on the car for a fair amount of time, almost since I bought it, has said that these Acuras, somewhere between 150,000, 180,000 miles, and it has 169,000, the transmission could go out on
it.
So I put this up for sale on Craigslist, assuming that if I specify, you know, possibly needs a new transmission, put a price tag on it, that I'm going to get, like, maybe three calls, because who's going to want a car that might have a transmission
issue?
Phone blew up.
Oh,
posted this at like 10:30 last night.
Yeah,
up until midnight, I was getting calls. This morning, all morning. If anybody's trying to call me, if my voicemail is full, please forgive me.
Oh my God,
just blowing.
I feel
my
like you're going to get more calls after this. After you announce.
I know, and it's basically like a bidding war now.
Oh my God.
I could actually get more than I listed it for.
I think you should.
Well,
exactly.
So now I have all these paranoid thoughts in my head, right? Like, people keep calling and saying, well, I've got cash. I've got the cash. I mean, like, what kind of cash? Did you make this cash this morning? Like, you know, so I don't trust any of this. So actually meeting a guy at the bank today.
So smart.
We'll see.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I feel like Craigslist, it can go one way or the other. You know what I mean?
It has had such a bad reputation. And you know what? Yeah. I'm leery of it.
Of course.
Anybody could be posting anything, right? Then I'm thinking, I can't they're going to have my home address or they're going to have my office address. Yeah. What if I piss somebody off and they come and they like scratch the car or something?
Yes. I know. I get it. Well, that's smart. You're meeting in a neutral place. A lot of security.
Yes. Yeah. So that's kind of crazy. But that kind of brings me to the topic of when we talk about like honesty in relationships.
Yeah. Sure.
And what is the extent to which people need to be as honest? Like, do you bear all? If you don't tell your partner something, does that mean you're lying, or is that by omission? Like, where do we draw the line? I think that's just such an interesting thing. Like, for instance, if you had a client who came in and said, "I had an affair with somebody. It lasted for a very brief time, and I have not told my wife, and she doesn't know, and she doesn't want to know." Is his opinion, right? She wouldn't want to know.
Okay,
he's ended the affair and he's moving on.
Right?
Would you tell him that he needs to disclose or not?
No. I mean, well, first of all, I feel like we wouldn't tell him one way or the other what to do. But if he's clearly feels like this would hurt her and he feels comfortable and he's ready to move on, like, I don't know if there's necessarily a reason. I mean, I'm kind of the philosophy that you should be honest, but I guess it just depends on what you feel comfortable with and what you feel like your partner. I mean, it's a tough situation because I can really see it both ways. What do you feel? You feel like no?
I have had that situation arise so many times in my career, and it's always just I always just go blank for the moment because I just don't know. You know, I think hard. A lot of times it's very individual.
Yeah,
you know, there are people who I really do believe would rather not know.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And so it would be I would want to know.
Me too.
Now, I don't know that I could get over it, but I'd still feel like I was entitled to informed consent because that would tell me that something is wrong enough in my relationship that would draw my partner to do that, and I would want to know. It would hurt like hell. I don't know that I could forgive or get over it, or forget for sure not.
Yeah.
So I would want to know, but I can't necessarily project or impose that on other people. But I think sometimes people tell themselves that their partner wouldn't want to know because they don't want to face reality.
Exactly.
And in those situations, I just don't think that that's fair.
Of course.
Especially if the partner actually has come flat out and asked.
Yes.
And then the partner says
lies.
Lies.
Oh, well, that's a different story completely. Yeah. Well, it's sort of interesting because I have a friend who's in a very, very healthy marriage. And I couldn't believe it. She told her husband when she had a crush on somebody else. And I was like, that's pretty amazing. So she would tell her husband, "Hey, there's a guy at work. I'm really attracted to him. I, you know, just want to let you know nothing will happen, but I am developing feelings for him." And I was like, I know. And I said, "How did you feel afterward?" And she said, "You know, surprisingly really well. It almost took the charge out of it a little bit." And I can understand that because I think the secrecy is what makes it so exciting. And it's like, I'm harboring this secret. And suddenly it's like, oh, wait, my husband knows I have a crush. So it's not as like forbidden, I guess.
But what did the husband do with that information?
He was okay with it. I couldn't believe it. I mean, was he happy? No. But like, I think because he trusted his wife so much, he knew nothing would happen. And I'm sure this part of him is like, all right, great. She's human, just like me. I'm sure there's somebody at my work who I find attractive. But he was okay with it. But I couldn't believe that because I don't know a lot of people that could do that just to kind of say it.
No, but I would also say, though, it's interesting that why would somebody allow themselves to develop such a crush when you're in a relationship? Does this person take that seriously or take that?
That's a good point. I mean, maybe she sort of was able to disassociate and look at sort of the marriage, and then this is sort of a fun, oh, he's cute type of, you know, you could look at it that way. But
I mean, it's one thing to find somebody else attractive and have that be a momentary thought in your mind, but to actually
develop feelings.
Yes, conjure up more and actually feed those feelings with more feelings and thoughts.
Yes.
To me, I don't know. I would have a hard time with that if Christopher came to me and said he had a crush on somebody.
I would have a huge problem with it. Like, I was surprised that the husband handled it so well. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of interesting, you know, like the type of person to tell and the type of person to accept, you know, it's kind of interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's always been a interesting question, I think, about that honesty and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do feel a little bit of an obligation here because we launched right into the show that we didn't give our dear guest last week, Susan Holland, who was our guest from Cancer Schmancer, the executive director of nonprofit. She is just such a doll. So I just wanted to make sure we mentioned her.
Well, and I do want to point out I got my husband on the natural deodorant kick.
Oh, yeah.
You might be smelling him from here.
Okay.
but I'm okay with that. I got my parents on it. and you could probably smell me from a mile away. And I mean, I was always using sort of like this natural pit paste, it's called. But yeah, I'm all about it. But I think it was really helpful to hear all that. And when she said that statistic, I will never forget it, about the 5 to 10% is cancer is genetic and the rest is environmental.
I
was like shocked. Right. I could not believe that. So yeah, so I thought that was super helpful. She was great. Absolutely great. She does. And I want to tell you about my Memorial Day really fast.
Please.
Okay.
Boy, that was very enthusiastic, wasn't it?
What?
Please, Kelly, tell me that. Please.
So we went to this fair. There was a fair, you know, in the neighborhood. First of all, it's amazing. So I found out these workers, they actually live in like little RVs. And they travel. That's like their gig. Isn't
like
that interesting?
The former circus people.
Exactly.
So they travel around with those little carnival things? You mean with the silly little rides and games?
Yes.
Wow.
Can you believe that? So I was talking with them because I was so intrigued. So they go around. It's all year round. They go in Southern California. And then they also do in the summer like Utah and Wyoming or whatever.
Do they have like an enrollment so Remy could join?
Exactly. I'm like, take them.
I would think he would find that very exciting,
so, yes.
Right? Was he so all about that?
Loved it. So my younger one is the biggest daredevil I've ever seen. Like, I feel like, so we went on this like really fast spinny thing. It put like the teacups to shame. I mean, it was like I literally grabbed, it was just me and London on this ride, and I grabbed his leg. Like, he's fine, right? And I'm like, it was just really funny. He's so like, whatever.
So he's counterphobic too.
You know, I don't think he's phobic about anything.
He doesn't have any fear. He doesn't have. He's fearless.
I don't think so. I mean, on certain things, but like for rides, not really. It's really interesting. So yeah, he loved it.
In contrast, is Remy more afraid?
Remy's more afraid.
More cautious.
And I wonder if that's firstborn, secondborn, but or maybe just personalities. But yeah, because my brother's a little more cautious than I am, and he's firstborn. But yeah. So anyway, so it was just so much fun. And then Remy won 2 fish. And it was very crazy. He was like one of those ping pong thingies. We thought he'd never do it. He brings home the 2 fish. They died the next day. Oh. So,
I don't mean to laugh, but of course.
No, it is funny.
They're carnival fish.
Exactly. So
they probably pump those up on steroids to get them through the carnival for the day.
Exactly. Yes. So he named them Nemo and Simo.
Oh,
so we had to
cute.
Flush. I know, look, we had to flush Nemo and Simo. We gave him a fish funeral. And then we felt so bad, so we bought him, you know, a couple more. And the next thing we know, we're walking home with a tank gravel. I got a Buddha, like, for the tank, a little Buddha. And yes.
Does it sit at the bottom?
It sits at the bottom. I'm like, if we're gonna get a fish tank, we're gonna get a
Buddha.
Exactly, we're gonna get a Zen fish tank. So yeah, so
to
we
have
did all
the
that.
Pretty colorful rocks in it and stuff.
We got to do that. It's pretty plain right now. And I'm thinking, I was making a joke because it's like just the Buddha and then the fish. And I'm like, the Buddha wants simplicity, you know, just the fish. No, we're gonna add some other fun stuff, but. It was just like so funny. It's like another responsibility. I'm like, God damn it. So, but I said to my son, I'm like, it's your job every morning. You feed him. And so far, so good. One out of one today.
One for one.
One to one so far. Well, I'll catch you back in a week and we'll see how well he's doing. But
now, is London show any curiosity about the fish too?
He got into it, but he's not as much as an animal person as Remy is. Uh-huh. Remy and I are like obsessed. Like, we will stop on the street and pet every dog. London, he's like, whatever. It's kind of, and so interesting to me when people are not like as obsessed, you know?
Right.
It's kind of funny, but he's more, guess what would he be like really into? Food, number one, any type of food. Like, I swear to God, he's like so interested. We'll say like, oh, remember we went to Legoland? And he'll be like, yeah, I had popcorn. Like, he remembers what he ate. Like, I'll be like, oh, you remember the ride? He'll be like, I remember the popcorn. I remember it. Like, it's so
That's
interesting
so
what people, you know, are into and obsessed with.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
I know.
Oh, so I was at Lake Arrowhead and, it is so pretty there. Have you been up there?
Yes, it's gorgeous. Just,
so it was absolutely stunning. We were driving on, I guess it's called like Rim of the World. It's off the I-18.
Cool.
And it goes kind of like on the outer edge of the mountain. And so we were driving and literally we were above the fog and above the clouds. So there was this looking down on this, like, it looked like snow or like fluffy, pillowy, all white right below. You couldn't see anything below it except for one other little mountain peak.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'll post a blog on this one.
Yes, David would love that.
So stunning. It was like, wow, I wish I had my good camera with
me. I know.
At the time.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't bring it.
But I got to tell you, I got the best deal. If you ever want to get the best deal on a winter coat, buy in the summer.
Yes, that's what I've heard.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, really?
I got this gorgeous jacket. It's ready for Santa Fe. I mean, it is just stunning. From $600 down to $100.
Are you kidding
me? I'm not kidding.
In Arrowhead, you got this.
In Arrowhead. Yes.
I gotta check
but they
it
actually
out.
Have an outlet store in Camarillo. Wilson's Leather. Have you heard of that
Yes.
place? But they have all kinds of things. If you like, you don't believe in leather, they have faux leather. They have all the stuff. They have purses and belts and all the stuff. I mean, 3-for-1 designer handbags, 3-in-1, like 3 different sizes for $25.
Are you kidding
I'm not kidding.
Ugh, I love great sales. You've had me at sales.
Arrowhead, I really, you know, it's something about stress reduction. You know, that's probably a good thing to sort of dive into because...
I was just going to say, I got to interrupt you for 1 second because I was watching something on CBS Sunday Morning, which is such a good show. But they were talking about how the national park, Zion in Utah, has increased 35% in the last year, which is 1 million visitors.
Visitors.
And I think they're saying because, well, first of all, they did like a high campaign around it. But I think it's also because like people want to be connected to nature. It's like we're always on our phones. We're always like emailing and it's like so much technology. It's like we need to get grounded again. And so that's so great that you did that. I agree.
The sad part is I always need like 5 days. The first day I'm all revved up. My hyper energy is right there. I'm so excited to get out of town and do whatever. And I want to do everything. And the next day it's like, all right, like then I want to explore. I want to check out all the things that are there.
Yes.
You know, so the walking, the hiking, the this and the that. And before you know it, it's, you know, 11 o'clock at night and I've never actually sat and just rested. And then the day to come home, which was yesterday, was like, oh, now today is the day that I could actually sit, chill, and relax.
Exactly, and relax. Well, I want to go camping again with you. I'm not kidding. That would be so much fun.
So much fun.
Did you go like on the boats or anything in the lake?
No, Lake Arrowhead is a private lake. It was a membership-only lake. So you can't actually, it's not like a regular place where they have public facilities where you can rent boats and things like that. We were able to get on the lake in terms of walking around it, and we did go on a boat because Christopher has a friend who has a boat there, and they happened to be there that weekend because they have a second home there. So they took us for a boat ride. But in general, if you don't know somebody or have somebody who's a member on the lake, you can't like just go rent a boat for an hour.
How many houses are in there?
Like, that's a lot. It's 14-mile circumference.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So
And Big Bear, I think, is 16 miles.
Oh, wow.
So it's long. So, yeah. But we took like, I got 25,000 steps on one day.
That's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. I got to pump it up. I got my Fitbit back working. I had to call them. They're very good at customer service.
They are good at customer service.
So I have to say
right up on the warranty.
Oh, yeah.
And then they wouldn't do anything for me.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting.
It's like, well, just delay it for a few days.
Yeah, exactly.
And warranty's passed. But, you know, it is coming down to the end of the school year. There's I'm sure a lot of our listeners have kids, and they're going to be winding down from the school year probably this next week or two.
There's like me. Hello.
Yes.
I'm very excited.
So give some tips that you've come up with for, like...
Stress reduction?
Yeah.
With all this?
Yes.
I need the tips, but if I were to say anything... You know, don't overextend. I think like a lot of times you get like sucked in with like volunteering this and volunteering that and help with this. And it's like, I think if you have multiple kids, maybe just pick one volunteer activity for one of them and then just call it quits because you don't want to overextend. And then you feel resentful. And then I feel like it's good for nobody. So that would be sort of one of my tips. Second thing is, you know, if you haven't already, look into like camps and different
camps.
Things.
Suggest that.
Because
kids need structure.
They really do.
You know, even the couch potatoes who love to just piddle around and do whatever they like to do, they still need structure.
100%. I love camp too. I think it's so good for kids to be outside. Remy is in his element. He got Camper of the Year last year. In a camp of like 700 kids.
Wow.
Yeah. He got a Camper of the Year because I think it's his element. Like, he loves being outside. He can do what he wants. He's like, you know, they swim twice a day. He loves swimming. Like, it's just, I think camp is so good for kids.
And I should actually retract my statement that kids need the structure. I think parents need to have structure for their kids, for their own needs.
Yes, 100%. And then they come home tired. It's great.
Sure.
It's heaven. So,
But even some people who can't afford summer camps, because they can sometimes be costly, a lot of times there's recreational parks and things like that will have summer programs for kids.
Yes, for less expensive. Oh, 100%. But I think it's great. And even if you can't do that and you're home with your kids, like nature walks, go to the beach. I mean...
have your kids volunteer for something if they're old enough. That's actually a really good structured activity too, like once a week with animals or things like
that. That's such a smart idea. I love that. I love that movie when the boy volunteers with the whale. It's a Disney movie and I'm pranking on the
Whale's Tale?
Yes.
Is that
I think that's it. It was so good.
No, Dolphin's Tale.
A Dolphin's Tale.
Oh, that's such a beautiful movie.
Wasn't it so good?
Based on a true story, I think.
I know. I loved it. But yeah, I think that's great. I think it's really good for kids to volunteer. I love that.
So you're going to have both of your kids in camp?
I'll have my dog in camp. No, everybody's in camp. Yeah.
Are you going to be in camp too, Kelly?
I wish. I swear to God. Sometimes I go to the camp. I'm like, I kind of wish
Wouldn't that be fun? Why don't they have a summer camp for adults?
For adults, they do.
They do?
And it's in Vermont. And I went with David. Remember, I would go every year.
Oh, yeah. That's where you met Psychic Florida. Who did you meet?
No.
One of our guests. You had met
yes, Abby Pecorello.
Abby Pecorello.
Yes, from the Go Noodle. Go Noodle. Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah, it's a great, great. It's just cool that you get to do all those activities and mountain bike and all that. It's so much fun. But yeah, and then I also did something else for a was it just women? Yeah, it's called Camp Empowerment, and it was like camp. You sleep in bunks with like six other girls for a weekend. It was so much fun. I love that. Yeah.
That's so cool.
And then I loved camping with you, too. So I just, like, I miss it a lot.
Well, we're ready to plan another one anytime you want to go.
Let's do it. And take my kids. David and I will see you. We're going somewhere else. But, yeah, I think stress management is hugely important. And even if you don't have any kids and you just feel like you want to, I don't know, get a break from work, I'm just all about those scenic walks. They've done so many studies that say that being around nature is just so good for us.
It was one of the fundamentals of studying the efficacy of EMDR, eye movement desensitization reprocessing for trauma therapy, was based on knowing that when people have a problem and you're walking and you're thinking of the problem, people came to solutions about their problems more quickly when they were walking than if they were sitting and pondering
that's
a solution to the problem.
So interesting. Yeah, I believe that.
Alternating stimulation to the body seems to have some sort of reparative process for trauma.
That's
pretty amazing.
Absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
That makes complete sense because I always feel clearer after I walk and oh my God, I'll be walking for a day. I'll be Forrest Gump out of here. Like, just keep going, you know? Like, that's great.
That's my sanity. I mean, I just love walking. I think it's just so important. So that's really good for people to pick a couple things, you know, just sit down with either your partner or yourself if you don't have a partner and just think of like three things that you can commit to this summer that you're going to do for self-care.
Yes.
I think that would be, you know, just make that a pledge and do that.
Is summer your favorite season?
I love all seasons. I really do. I look forward to every season. There's something just unique. Nice. I mean, when I think of the winter, I think of skiing. So I get excited about that. And some modicum of cold weather out here in California.
I was just going to say seasons. Happens. But you do, with the snow up north and stuff. Yeah.
Spring, I just love the nature and the outdoors and watching everything blossom. Summer just reminds me of being a kid having all this time, even though I don't have any free time.
Right. But it just reminds me.
I think about
that.
It, right? It's a positive association. And the idea of, you know, doing some extra travel or something. Like that, even if it's just a couple of weekend getaways.
Yes.
And then the fall. I mean, fall is just interesting. So sort of like things go back to, you know, planning for the holidays and family and looking forward to things and new recipes and all that. So you grew up in a season.
I was just going to say, like, really,
Maryland,
truly.
Right?
And winter always felt like so long. I mean, it was
So that you didn't like winter
I
so much.
I hate winter.
Like, the other three seasons you like, but not winter.
Yeah. But then fall, I'm like, oh, winter's approaching. Except I do love Halloween. It's my favorite holiday. So that's the one blessing. But I love summer. Like, I feel like, I don't know, I just love the warm weather. I mean, it's the reason I moved to California. Like, it's just so warm and sunny. You feel good. I love, you guys don't have them here, but the fireflies were so cool in the summer. Have you ever seen them?
I haven't. What, don't they have fake ones at Disneyland and the Pirates of the Caribbean or something?
That is so funny. I bet they do. But I feel like it signals summer to me, and it's just, I don't know. I love it. I absolutely love summer. And it's funny because so does my husband. Like, I don't know. I think it's just that feeling of, like, freedom and, you know, relaxation and I don't know. Yeah. That's funny that you really can, because I think most people probably can't break down the seasons in California like you can.
No, but I guess I have different activities that I associate with each season. So
sure.
It just feels good. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to when I someday live in Santa Fe.
I know. That's so funny. Yeah.
I will have seasons.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah. It gets cold in the winter.
You're right, because I went skiing there in Taos.
Yes. It's very cold. And it gets very pretty warm in the summer, too. And they have a lot of monsoon rains.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's very rainy sometimes in July.
I can see you there. Now that I know it, it's kind of interesting. Yeah.
That's what I bought the coat for. Like this
right,
coat is,
exactly.
Yeah, it's going to sit in my closet until then. It'll be the motivator.
Yes, exactly. No, I think that's smart. It's like when you're trying to lose weight and you buy like a size smaller or something.
Yeah, that
like,
never works for me.
Exactly. I never did it, but yeah.
In fact, on a closing note, that's the opposite of what I recommend for people.
100%.
Because the more we say, I will do this when, I will do this when, the when never comes because our bodies resist. We rebel against ourselves then.
I'm a firm believer in intuitive eating, and we can talk about that another show.
Time, yes.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about next week. We have J.B. Glossinger. He is the author of The Sacred Six, The Simple Step-by-Step Process for Focusing Your Attention and Recovering Your Dreams. And let's promote our books.
Yeah, Deborah, well, I'll just send people to my website, to Dr. Deborah Online, drdebraonline.com, and lots of blogs and four books.
Perfect.
Yeah. And you?
And I have Professor Kelly's Guide to Finding a Husband. You can find it on Amazon. And you can visit us at our website at docandtherapist.com. That's D-O-C and therapist.com.
Also known as The Rapist.
I know. Right? That is so funny.
I know. I for all these years, I never
thought about it.
No. And then Christopher, when we were doing the website, goes, do you know that says The Rapist?
I know.
I'm like, holy crap.
You know what? Yes. Yeah. Well, I had to change my website because I had Therapist Kelly Miller. And
The Rapist Kelly Miller?
And David's like, let's change it.
Let's change it.
Yes. So now it's Kelly Miller Therapy.
That's
but,
so funny.
Yes. Isn't that funny?
That's not funny, actually.
I know. Exactly. So,
all right. Great show.
And Twitter at doctherapist.com. Doc Therapist One. There we go.
Doc Therapist One. All right.
All right. Great
show.
Thanks so much.
So good to see you. Bye, everybody.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.